quarter, keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Wall Street Podcast. I am Kevin Cotillo, and with me every week is John Bosch. What's going on, John? We're here every week. How are you?
Every week. It's been a great streak that we really got going here, Kevin. I am happy to be back. I feel like we say it every time. It's been too long, so maybe we should fix that.
We're at a quarterly pace right now. We're gonna try and fix that. Last episode, I believe, was November, end of November. We've got Riley back with us again. Riley, what's going on?
Boys, how were our Thanksgivings?
Christmas, pretty good. Christmas, New Year's, we're cranking along here. Yeah, so I guess we should probably remind everyone who we are. We are Dynasty Wall Street, and what we do is take the values that we find in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, which you can find at the cleverly named website, dynastytradecalculator.com, and we go through the values of similar players to determine who we can trade for with the particular player that we choose, what kind of picks we can get, what kind of players we can get, and we'll go through a running back, wide receiver, and tight end tonight. And of course, we always use 12-team Superflex values from the calculator. Obviously, with the Dynasty Trade Calculator, you set all kinds of different settings, league size, points, scoring, TE premium, which Bosch loves, and all kinds of different things. But we use 12-team Superflex, so those are the values that we're going to talk about, even though we're not talking about a quarterback tonight. You should still be playing Superflex, so that's why we go with that scoring. Bosch, I believe you are going to kick us off with a running back tonight. So let's get to it.
I am, and so when I chose the running back, I actually was kind of surprised when I pulled up his value in the calculator. I thought he feels like he's valued less. So I think the calculator in this one, I think it's actually kind of accurate, but I think the market feels like it's lower, and maybe that's just me. But
Adrian Peterson,
I'm bringing Josh Jacobs to the table.
Whoa!
Very curious. Without even looking, where do you guys think he ranks? Like as a first round pick, like the 101, the 102, the 103, the 108, 109. Like, give me your guesses without looking anything up before I give it to you.
106.
Okay, Kevin's at 106.
111.
111. Okay, you guys are closer to the range that I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, the later side of the first. So I was thinking that. Pull it up in the calculator. He comes in equal to the 102.
Wow.
Yeah, I was rather shocked by this. I don't think that's actually his market, to be honest. So kudos to the calculator for having him valued so high. But I really thought that it was going to be the 106 to 110, 111 range as well, like wow. Somewhere in there. 102, that's where we're going to start. We're talking basically Justin Fields, probably. What do you guys think? You want Josh Jacobs, or do you want the 102?
I don't see how, if we're talking Superflex, which we are talking, I don't see how you can take Josh Jacobs over the 102. It's Fields, most likely. A lot of time before the draft, obviously, but it's most likely Fields. I can't do it. Give me the 102 all day long.
Riley?
Confession time. Wasn't thinking rookie draft picks. I was thinking startup pick.
Oh,
hold on.
Okay.
So probably wouldn't have said almost a second. I would probably rather have Josh Jacobs than the 102. So
wow,
in a super flex,
yeah, I'd pay 102 for Josh Jacobs. I mean, he's a running back one. I don't see that changing anywhere.
Is he running back one? Are we sure?
I think he is.
I think he's running back one. I'd pay 102. I'd even pay 102 in a second, probably to get Jacobs. Just because I do really like Justin Fields, but I'm not sure he's going to be a top 10 dynasty quarterback. He's probably going to hang around in the 12, 13-ish range, which is great. it's awesome as Hugh Freckley, but yeah, I'll take Josh Jacobs for 102 plus.
Oh man, I did not expect anybody to go with the Josh Jacobs side. That is, to me, that's extremely hefty. I'll take the quarterback. I know you don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback, which is fine.
But I like him. I really, really like Justin Fields. Let me say that.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's a back-end quarterback one like you think, I'll take a back-end quarterback one over a back-end running back one any day. Like, I mean, age-wise, they're, you know, we know Fields is going to have a much longer career. This is all, of course, assuming he doesn't come out and bust. So, I mean, I guess there's some security in Jacobs. We know that he's not a bust, but he's a running back, so we know he doesn't have a long-term career either. You just can't invest that way. So I'm definitely taking the quarterback. Riley, I'm rather shocked by that. Kevin, let's get back to you real fast. What pick would you start to give for Jacobs? Not the 102. Would you go 103, 104, 105? Like, at what point are you into your rookies enough to know where you're going to slot him in?
I mean, you know me. I don't do rookie evaluations. I look at value only, so I could care less about the actual evaluation. But to me, you're getting far more value out of at least the top three, because most likely, depending on how the draft goes, most likely they're going to be quarterbacks, right?
Quarterback, yeah.
So I think you got that. And then, I don't know. I mean, I think you can get that shiny penny of the first, you know, two or three running backs, I think might be able to get you a little bit more in return.
First two or three receivers this year, you mean?
Receivers also, yeah. I mean, receivers are going to go ahead of them, but even the running backs, I mean, if someone's looking at running back, I mean, you get the first two, maybe three, that you'd have put ahead of Jacobs.
I think I would take him over basically any of the 2021 class right now. I'm not super into the rookies either, like as far, you know, as being prepared for them. Maybe Riley is, and he can probably shed light on that. But for me right now, I'll take Josh Jacobs because he's the known, whereas the rookies are kind of an unknown. So I would take him over any rookie running
back. So you're at 104 then, basically.
Probably. I would probably take him over any of the wide receivers because we feel similarly about wide receiver that we can find wide receivers pretty much anywhere. And if I need a running back on my roster, that means I'm competing. So I'm just going to take Josh Jacobs because I feel comfortable with him there. Maybe he doesn't have the upside of a rookie because we don't know what the rookies are yet, but I don't think he has the downside either. So what do you think, Riley? Where would he slot against this 2021 class?
So the sexy option is going to be to take Najee Harris after what he did to my beloved Fighting Irish in the playoff, as well as Ohio State. He's going to be
yet another quick exit for Notre Dame.
Yep. What do you know? But hey, we made it.
Always do.
Always do. Almost so as if there's a reason. We've got that going for us, which is nice. So Harris is going to be the sexy pick. He's going to be the RB1 rookie wise this year, but we want Najee Harris to land in a spot that Josh Jacobs is in right now. Jacobs is the workhorse. Granted, we need him to stay fully healthy for a full season. We would love it. Kind of seems to be nicked up for a couple games here and there. But we want Najee to land in a spot where he's going to get the ball. And Josh Jacobs is in that right now. Not super, you know, crazy dissimilar players. They both can cut. They can run you over. A little bit of speed here and there. So I'm taking Jacobs as the top, you know, really positioned player in this class outside of Trevor Lawrence. That's why I'm going Jacobs at 102.
So I think we're all pretty, I think we all kind of like Jacobs, it seems like, and willing to invest in him. So if your league is out there and you think it's similarly valued to what we had originally thought, well, maybe not Riley, because he put him up.
Yeah, I goofed that one.
You did put that one. You did put him up. Me and Kevin, like I do feel like I have a decent pulse on my leagues, and I don't think I'd have to pay the 102 in any league for him. That just felt.
I think you'd definitely get him plus if you're giving up the 102. I think you'd probably get maybe a late second on top.
Yep, I think so too. All right, let's compare. I actually have two groups of players, so we're going to go kind of fast through this because I think they're like two different tiers of groups of players, to be honest. So the first one is Dobbins, Swift, Henry, and Akers. Toughest part of this for me is honestly, how do I evaluate Henry versus the rest of the list? Because every year I just want to fade him and say there's no way he's going to do it again, and then he just does it again. But, like, how many years can he just keep doing it again?
Yeah, I
feel like as soon as I jump on the Henry train, the wheels are coming off.
It's the carry amount, right? Like, yeah. He can't do it.
But that's also what gives him so many damn points every
week. I know. I agree. But it won't last forever.
I mean, yeah, how many years do we have to wait it out till we're right? I've been very wrong on him.
I mean, Henry's to me, he's the classic, and will be until he basically leaves the league. He's the classic. If I'm going for a championship, I want him, but I can only ever expect 1 year, because you just don't know after that.
I don't expect much beyond a year on running backs, anyways. Even the rest of the guys in here.
I mean,
like, I'm thinking this year, like, by this year, I now mean 2021, because we are in 2021. So, course. I mean, like, I believe this year and next year, and that's it. Like, I don't expect anything beyond that. Anything beyond this year and next year is gravy for running backs.
Yeah, I have this list. I think I've got the three rookies ahead of Jacobs.
Ageist.
Call me an ageist, but I think I'd probably
Jacobs
put him in
22.
The
22.
I'd probably put it at Dobbins, Swift, then Akers, and then Jacobs. And Henry to me is league dependent. Is it a league that I'm, you know, I'm going cashing all in for 2021, then maybe I put him higher on this list and put him atop. I don't know. They're all similarly valued to me, though. Like, I mean, with the exception of Henry, I mean, Jacobs is right in this same. I mean, it's a perfect tier in my mind, because Jacobs is right in there with those second year players.
Riley, what about you?
I have Dobbins first, Jacobs second, Swift third, Henry fourth, and Cam Akers fifth.
You just hate Cam Akers. There's no reason for it.
I will not stand for it. I really like Cam Akers, but Henry's got more market value. The play, if you could get Akers and a plus for Henry, yeah, I'd see if I could do that 8 days out of the week. But I don't think you're going to get Henry plus for Akers, even after his playoff stretch. I don't think that's happening.
I don't know. That's the move that I even as much as I have, you know, not wanted to invest in Henry, I do have some Henry, and I think this is the range where I'm going to look to see if I can get anything on top of any of the other guys. I do think Henry's the most valuable right now. I think he's the most volatile too, though, which is a position where that is my cue. Get out. Like, I haven't been in that much. Now I don't want to be in at all. Like, I know that I just am going to keep saying that I can't be involved in Henry, because at some point it is going to end, and I don't want to be the one holding him. So, but for now, I do think he's the most valuable. So I have Henry at the top, and then I have Josh Jacobs. Actually, I want him more than I want the now second year players. I do have a Dobbins, Swift, Akers, but I don't care. You can jumble them however you want, really. All right, let's hit one more tier, and basically just tell me if you take any of these guys over Josh Jacobs, Zeke, Miles Sanders, Gibson, and Clyde. Would you take any of those guys over Jacobs? They were the next group, and I kind of feel like there was a pretty clear tier break when I was looking at it, that I don't think I would take any of those over Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Sanders is interesting to me, with Peterson gone. I hate Doug Peterson. I hate the way he uses running backs. So maybe the coach that they hire will be better. I don't believe as of today that we're recording that they've hired someone. But he's talent-wise, I do like Sanders a lot. So I think that, you know, but I don't know that I would take him over. Jacobs is probably he's probably the closest out of the group.
Riley, anybody for you?
Sanders and Clyde are pretty close. Zeke's a hell no. I'm not investing in Zeke right now.
Agreed.
I don't know why you would. Unless you can get him for super cheap, which probably not going to happen. Because I mean,
he's a get rid of a ride out.
He's a ride out in my opinion. I don't even think you can get rid of him, because you're not selling him low. Because the hope is Dak comes back and maybe he's a little more motivated next year, and you actually get something out of him. So I don't see how you can even sell Zeke right now.
I might look to move Zeke for like Clyde, just because I seem to like Clyde more than everybody else.
Who's taking that though?
I don't think anybody. I'm not taking it.
You don't think some people would?
Age difference? No.
There's some people that just hate Clyde for some reason. Like, he had a decent rookie year on a hell of an offense. So I don't understand the hate, but it seems to be out there on Twitter.
I don't think I could take any of those guys over Jacobs, though.
All right, good. We're all in agreement there, then. That I mean, it's a really clear, like, looking at the running back rankings on DTC, it's a really clear tier break right there.
I might have to go back and revisit our trade, Riley, now that you guys have kind of talked up Jacobs.
What was the trade offer? Let's do it on air.
It's a cap league.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah,
He wants a couple of rookie picks for Josh Jacobs, who's 2 years at 25.
Oh, is this wife?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Nice. So. Welcome, everything is fine. The abbreviation wife, obviously.
Right. I'm bringing it up. I can't remember what I offered.
That's tough, because picks
I believe
are,
it's the 106 and the 114.
106 and 114, and Jacobs is 2 years.
$25.
What are you going to do? You know you can't take Devies with those picks, Riley.
Riley gets creative.
What are you gonna take with those picks? Kevin, I can't believe you didn't cash.
I'm shedding cap space
for Josh Jacobs immediately.
I can't compete. This was a dispersal. I'm trying to get rid of him.
I was trying to get him to give me a little salary relief on top of it by taking
my $12 and kill Harry contract on top. You get out of here. No chance.
Didn't the kill Harry never end up on like COVID IR or anything at all this year? Or you could have just cut him, Kevin?
Nope, he had 15 yards every game.
Yeah, he did not go on IR once this year. He would have been an immediate cut for me, but...
That's a shame.
Interestingly enough, Bosch, I believe you're done with the running back. And
I am. Wide receiver, N'Keal Harry.
Since we're talking about potential deals in salary cap leagues with Riley, I'm going to talk about a wide receiver. And that wide receiver is T. Higgins, who Riley also tried to move to me in that same league. So, T. Higgins comes in on the calculator at a whopping value of 33.4.
God, are you serious?
I was blown away when I pulled that up. We're going to have to talk to the boys.
This
conference call.
It feels like somebody might have leaned on the keyboard or something when they were 33.4? That's damn near the 101.
Well, Bosch, you know very, very clearly it's the 102, which comes in at 32.5. So, I mean...
Good Lord.
Are you taking T. Higgins or the 102?
Hell no, I'm taking the 102. I don't even have to think about this one.
I have Izzy's phone number. Do you want me to just ring him up?
I think we should get him on the horn here. I don't know what happened. I really don't, because I was shocked. And I did it,
and
like...
we're also, like, this is the off-season where picks are the ones that should get the extra weight put on them just because, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, I get it. He's 22 years old. He's got Joe Burrow.
I don't get it at all.
But he's...
I don't get it at all.
He's probably not even the wide receiver one on his team.
If you had to choose between having Joe Burrow or T. Higgins, which one would you want out of those two?
That's a really stupid question. Burrow would take Burrow.
The 102, at this time last year, was Burrow. This year, the 102 is Fields. Like, that's the upside range of getting a quarterback at 102. Granted, Burrow probably ended up as the 101 and Tua is the 102. But still, like, the upside range of a quarterback, this has got to be there's no way that Tua or the T. Higgins can go higher than this. That's insane.
I agree. He was the player I picked. I almost picked a different player.
Riley wants to come in and be like, yeah, I'd take T. Higgins.
So no. Just so you know, if you gave T. Higgins and the 208 in the calculator, you would have the same exact value as Joe Burrow.
I would do that. Yeah, so, I mean,
I would give a couple of 208s. How many 208s can I have? And I'll give all of them.
let me say this, though. I was wrong on T. Higgins. I didn't like him coming out. I thought he couldn't separate. He had a good rookie year, right? He had 908 yards. Somehow I missed probably half of those. I didn't think he had that many. 6 touchdowns, 67 catches. Pretty good rookie year, right?
He did have a good year, yeah.
So, I mean, I get that. However... a little steep for me. It's a little steep.
I can't wait to see what wide receivers are in this range with him, because I think we are going to be shocked by some of these names.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and talk about some of them.
We're going to get like Calvin Ridley. Oh, man.
Not quite, although the first one on the list was shocking to me. Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin, Michael Thomas, and Amari Cooper are the comps that I have here.
Oh my God, I traded T. Higgins straight for Michael Thomas in a league. Kevin, I think I remember talking to you about that, and that was in one of my public leagues, and I was like, I got to take this, right? Like, what the heck? Somebody offered me Thomas for T. Higgins.
It was when Michael Thomas was out in the beginning, like second or third week, right? Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I just remembered, I gave some really bad advice. Somebody asked me, I want to say it was like week 6 or 7, somebody offered them Michael Thomas for his Justin Jefferson. I'm like, dude, smash Michael Thomas. Oh, that's bad. That just hit my mind. Probably same situation.
Hey, when he has Jameis thrown to him next year, it's going to be a whole different story.
Absolutely. Somebody that can,
we all saw Jameis. He actually can throw beyond, you know, like the line of scrimmage.
That's true.
So, whole new ball game next year for Michael Thomas.
All right.
Where do I slot T. Higgins in here?
I don't even know. I don't even have a number one.
None of these are a number one for you?
Like, I mean,
number one?
Out of the five given, I mean, yeah. Okay, come on, Christopher. Rod God. I still can't get off Chris Godwin. Chris is going to be my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's mine too.
I mean, Godwin to me was the easy one here, I thought, because I just think, I don't know. Maybe I'm just an overly excited Godwin fan, but remember this time last year, Michael Thomas was the hands-down number one of that list. So,
yep. I mean, he was the wide receiver one at this point last year.
I also got a trade for you guys after you've created your list here.
Quick fall.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to go Godwin number one. Interested to see where he lands this offseason if he doesn't either re-sign or is tagged in Tampa. Number two, I'm actually going to take T. Higgins at number two. I mean, I'd rather have him over McLaurin because they're probably pretty similar assets, but I'd rather have Joe Burrow than the unknown in Washington. And then, like, Michael Thomas, maybe. The Thomas and Cooper, I'm not into. I mean, I get Cooper. I'm not paying a premium for him, especially with CeeDee Lamb probably going to emerge as the, you know, definitely a higher rated asset in there right now, but. I mean, the ball is going to be spread around a ton, which is great. I'm fine. But I guess I'll put Cooper last and have, you know, McLaurin fourth, Thomas third. I think I bounced around all over there, but yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got Godwin, Higgins, what'd you say, Thomas, McLaurin,
Thomas,
Cooper?
Thomas, McLaurin, Cooper, yeah.
All right.
So the only flip-flop for me is T. Higgins and Michael Thomas. I would still have Thomas at two. Yeah, he didn't have a good year this year. I mean, he was hurt basically the entire year.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a bounce back. Like you said, there's uncertainty with the quarterback with Godwin. There's uncertainty with the quarterback with McLaurin. I do like T. Higgins quarterback, obviously. So, you know, I actually go Godwin, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, McLaurin, Amari Cooper. I've just never been a big Terry McLaurin fan. I don't trust that team at all. And I do tend to invest in the same team. I don't care what the positions are for a lot of teams. I just want good offenses. And I don't trust that offense to be a good one.
Yeah, my thought on McLaurin, I feel the exact same way. I have no faith that Washington will do the right thing at quarterback or just in general. I do like Rivera. So from a coaching standpoint, I think they're better off than they have been in years. But I do think that it's just that franchise will always find a way to screw things up. So McLaurin's the guy I'm going to buy, like, I don't know. So hopefully he has a down year in the next year or two. And then before he gets his second contract and goes somewhere else, that's when you buy him. But for me, I think I'm right with you, Bosch, as far as the order. Interestingly enough, just so the calculator has it, Michael Thomas still at number one. McLaurin would come in at number two. Then Higgins. Then Godwin. And then Cooper is last. The reason I capped at these guys is because the jump from Thomas up, to me, while the value in the calculator is very similar, right above Thomas is Diggs, and then it goes up from there. And to me, that's a clear tier break. Clear tier break.
Yeah, so. Diggs is easily above.
Yeah. So, all right, here's the trade before we move along. Laviska Shenault and the 106.
Yes.
Comes in just barely under T. Higgins. Under T. Higgins. Just barely under.
I'll take Viska in the pick.
We are going to take our metaphorical hammer, and we are going to lock the Laviska and 106 side. I'm all about buying Laviska right now.
Agreed.
Driver's coming. Driver's coming.
I'm in full agreement there, and the 106 is not a bad pick in this draft either. So,
it's
give me that.
Probably going to be a wide receiver for you that could be just as good as T. Higgins. So you end up having two shots.
I like the math there, Bosch. Two shots, always better than one. So
always.
With that, we will we'll move on to tight end, Riley.
Moving to tight end, one of my biggest buys up there with Laviska of the offseason.
Tight end. I wonder when the last time we did a tight end on the show was.
probably Valentine's Day of last year if we're only recording quarterly.
there's a solid chance that he picks the same tight end we did last time we did a tight end, too.
Probably. This was a breakout candidate that I think everybody was wanting to bust out this year, but damn, Kyle Rudolph was still hanging around. We're going to talk about Irv Smith.
Oh, nice.
Love me some Irv Smith.
You do love Irv. I do. I think we are all big Irv fans here, if I recall.
So
big
Irv, fan. Big fan. Irv comes in at a 9.1 value on the calculator. And just guessing, where do you guys think that stacks him? That puts him at tight end what?
Bye. 14.
I was going to say 12, so.
Kevin's closer. It's actually tight end 10, so tight end sucks. Okay. Just tight end's awful. I mean, we're in single digits, and we're top 10 here. However, we think Irv's going to see a nice boost in that number here in the next 12 months. But
what's Kelce at? I mean, imagine, look at the difference, though.
38.
Kelce hit
38-ish, I want to say.
I got to pull it up because,
I don't think I would take, would you take the 101 or Kelce?
I'd rather have 101.
101 and a super flex, easy. Yeah,
I'll take Trevor Lawrence. Right. That Trevor Lawrence 101 is going to be through the roof.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it now. I won't go into too many because I don't want to ruin your fun there.
Kevin just looked at the list.
But that right. That drop off from the guy right above Irv to Irv is pretty significant. So
right. So anyways, back to my position.
go for it, Riley.
Roughly equivalent to the 202, which comes in at a 9.8. So. At this point, really, who knows what we're going to see at 202 or who or what's going to be available. But, right off the bat, Irv or 202?
I'll take Irv. I don't mind investing a second-round pick in a tight end, especially one that has now been in the league for a little bit. I don't want to put a rookie pick on the tight end, like seeing mocks where, our good friend Travis is doing mock right now. And Pitts went at 106. Like, that's nuts.
I'll rant about that later.
No matter how good he is, investing that much in a tight end, no, that's not where I want to be. 202 for a tight end that I've already seen produce and has that couple of years in the system.
Coming
now,
into year three. This will be year three for Irv.
Yeah. This is where I want to go. All right, so, I wish it was a little bit later of a second, but I don't care. I'll give up the 202 to lock in Irv Smith there.
I might hang on to the pick. And the only reason I'll say why, here's the reason. I think there are some solid tight ends that you could get for a third round pick that are going to be, maybe they don't, if Irv makes the jump, right, and gets into that next tier, then great, you've won. If he doesn't, then you could have had similar production or better production for a third, for guys that have been around the league for a little longer. So I'll just take my chances that I give up a third. If I need a tight end, I give up a third, I get a guy like, I don't know.
Logan Thomas. Would you either give a third for Logan Thomas or a second for Irv Smith?
Yeah,
third. I don't think you can get Logan Thomas for a third. Can you get him for a third?
I don't know. Probably.
He finished as the tight end five or six, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but the
value is not there. I don't know if anybody's given a second for him.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't think anybody's trading him away for a third, so I think he's one of those guys.
Or you could take a shot on one of the younger guys like Troutman or Komet that, had decent rookie years but haven't popped yet. I mean, I don't know. I think there's just guys you can get for cheaper that you might have as good of a shot as breaking out.
Komet for a third I would be interested in if you can get that. That's That's intriguing. I don't know if, again, I
think I'm just saying, I think I'd focus more on putting a third towards that tight end position and then take the two, because that's a high two.
That is a high two.
That's a high
potentially two. A quarterback, especially with this year. We've got five or six coming out who could go in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. So we know in recent years, I mean, Josh Allen was 205, 206 in Superflex leagues.
Now, what was Jordan Love?
I have no idea. I didn't buy him.
I don't know.
I have no clue. But, Daniel Jones was another one, right? Daniel Jones was a second rounder in most
now
leagues.
You're going to make me think of another name that went in the second. Jordan Love, I think, went somewhere in the second.
Probably so. Probably so. But
I mean, is Trey Lance a second round pick in a Superflex this year?
I bet he's a first.
Probably he's a late first if he
late
lands
first,
in
maybe 202, depending on how it shakes out. I mean,
true.
Maybe.
That whole back end of the first, early second is probably going to be about the same this year. So it's a very top-heavy class, and then we kind of evens out a little bit. It's not going to be like this year where Justin Jefferson was late first, T. Higgins was late first, early second. Not going to be like that this year. So lower your expectations. Moving on to some comparable players.
Expectations.
Even though Kevin has already been checking out the tight end list, we are going to talk about everyone around Irv Smith. So Hunter Henry comes in at 13.5. Robert Tonyan, or Bob Tonyan, at 8.8. As well as Jonnu Smith at 8.8. And then my boy Austin Hooper down at 7.1. Oh, what a roller coaster it's been, buddy.
All right, I think I go Hunter Henry still first. I like his quarterback better, so I think that breaks the tie. I think T and Irv are very, very close at the top for me, but I'll go Hunter Henry. I think I'll go Jonnu third. I'm still a fan. As much as Bob Tonyan was great this year, I don't think his value is ever going to be a lot in fantasy football. He's just one of those guys who it's great to have him on a roster. I don't think he's ever going to be a super valuable trade asset just because nobody was ever invested heavily to begin with. They got him for cheap, so the price on guys that start out cheap, the value just seems to be capped no matter what. Tonyan, if I have him, I'm not getting rid of him. Trust me, I'll just play him every week and be happy with the production. And then that's four. Hooper, I guess, would be last. I don't know. I might put Hooper over Tonyan even. That's close. Flip a coin, doesn't matter to me.
I probably take Henry first, although you said quarterback, but he didn't get signed, right? So isn't he a free agent this
year? Oh, is he a free agent?
He is a free agent, assuming
Jonnu
he doesn't get...
Jonnu is too, isn't he? Is Jonnu too?
Yes, Jonnu's in that. He's in that same class.
Yeah, so there's going to be some tight end movement this year, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. If someone goes out and signs the guy, then they're going to want him, right? So
yeah. So
expectation is to use him, although that was the expectation
with Hooper,
and that didn't work out so well either. So yeah. I do like Hooper. I did like the way he ended the season. Hopefully that helped him build a rapport with Mayfield, who should be on track to get 70 touchdowns next year, right, Riley?
Yeah, it's only going up from here.
So anyway, I've got Henry. I might take Jonnu ahead of Irv. Irv probably third on the list, and then Hooper and then Tonyan. I'm with you, Bosch. Tanyan's last to me. He's got to do it another season, maybe another two season before I think people really buy into the value. So, and not just have good flash games. He's got to actually be consistent through a whole season. So
I'm a little different. I actually have I have Irv number one. One, because I think all five of these guys are very, very close, and I think it's preference at this point. Hunter Henry, I think, is the Nicolas Cage of tight ends, where he's a lot of fluff, but then you really dive in and you're like, this isn't that great.
Writes good movies, though, or works on good movies, though.
I mean,
sometimes it's all about the script. Sometimes it's all about the script.
I suppose, but I mean, I'm not thrilled about sticking Hunter Henry in my lineup every week. Granted, all these five, probably not thrilled about any of them. I just think the ceiling's not there. He's switching teams. It's slow, when you start out at a new team as a tight end because you've got to learn all sorts of playbook, protections, blocking, I mean, everything. So that's why I think tight ends switching teams could be a little slow at first. I do have Henry second, just because, you know, if he lands in a good spot, yeah, sure. I have Hooper third, oh, Bob Tanyan at four, and then Janu at five.
Ooh, don't like, man. Janu, huh?
I felt like, no. You were a Janu fan going into this previous year, weren't you?
Maybe that's why I have him at five. I bought him up a little bit, and then, you know, had a really nice first few games, and then just
Riley is spurned.
Yeah, that's why I'll never own Eric Ebron ever again, because I bought him at like 104 his rookie year, and that sucked. So I don't know. These five guys are. I'm really. It's all about preference. I think Irv's got the highest floor, or highest ceiling rather, and I think he's going to hit that. Or at least start to hit that next year. I've got a trade.
Let me ask you, though. Sure, besides, sure. But before we do that, besides the fact that he's coming into his third year, which, sure, I get, right? What changes in that situation that makes him a huge buy? Or makes you want to get him?
Kyle Rudolph's
still there. Rudolph's not going still there, but I think they could. You could tell down the stretch, Irv was more involved towards the end of the year.
I don't know, maybe I should look up stats to see if it backs that up,
but it's sure, just watching games, he felt like he was more involved. Again, feelings don't matter. Stats, should probably look it up just to make sure. But he seemed to be more important down the stretch than Kyle Rudolph was.
So Irv Smith, let's take a look at the last four games, had targets 4, 4, 9, and 3. Kyle Rudolph, the last four games, 5, 3, 8, and 2. So,
just about the same.
Relatively the same. I'm pretty sure
that's actually the exact same. I think they both had 18 there.
I'm pretty sure that of the two of them, Rudolph's the one that's signed to a long-term deal. I don't know. I mean, I just don't look. If you want to tell me he's going to make a jump in that third year, that's fine. But to me, not much changes in that offense going into year two, or this next year, year three for him, that makes me think he's a huge jump from a tier.
I mean, for me, it's a bet I'm probably willing to take, just because I know. I mean, even if he raises his floor, right?
You take that bet for a third, sure.
Oh, I'd take it for, you know, five thirds. I'd throw all the thirds and fourths out the window for Irv. But, I mean, at 202, you're probably looking at one of the big three rookies coming out this year. I'm not taking Kyle Pitts in the first. I actually have Brevin Jordan and Pat Freiermuth about the same as Kyle Pitts. So all three are graded very similarly. They're going to be probably late first, early seconds, most likely early seconds in the NFL draft. So they're all going to be right there. So it's really just kind of where you want to put your chips.
Like you said, you are a bit different.
I am a bit different, always have been, so I'll miss here and there, like you guys know. But
Kyle Pitts, who could very well be a top five, he could be a top five pick in the NFL draft.
I will take that bet that he will not be. I don't think he goes top 10.
He could be.
I don't think he goes top 10. Probably late first.
We can talk about that wager offline. Let's get to your trade.
We'll get to the trade. So moving on, would you rather have Mr. TJ Hockenson or Irv and 109?
I like Hockenson a lot. I'm gonna go with Hockenson, I think. It's close, though.
Man, this is where, like, I bet if we put names to players, what wide receiver are we looking at the 109, Riley? Give us a name.
So 109 this year. Let me pull up the...
Because honestly, I think I might take the one... Though I don't think the 109 is terribly far from Hockenson. If you invested in Hockenson, you probably spent like the 106.
The 109. Yeah.
The 107, 108. 108, like, okay, I can get my money back because he hasn't been exactly what you've wanted. I'm not jumping ship on him. But, like, if I can get my money back plus get Irv Smith, I think I'm going to side there. But give us a name, Riley. What kind of wide receiver are we looking at 109?
That's going to be the Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore area. So
I'll take the 109 and Irv Smith. That's pretty easy for me.
Now, Hawk was super consistent. I mean, I believe the first 7 or 8 games he was double-digit points. He was awesome. But the ceiling wasn't there all the time. You got a blow-up game every now and then, but for the most part, he was more so floor than ceiling, which is fine.
Yeah, and we don't know what that team's going to do, right? I mean, they're going to have a new coach. They could have a new quarterback. There's a lot of change coming in that. So I think... And given the names that you're throwing out there for rookies, I'm kind of changing my mind here on the pick. Not because of Irv Smith, I'll tell you that much. It's more because
the pick alone, though.
The pick alone, and then okay, you give me a tight end too that I could probably work with in his year three, hopefully.
Yeah, so. I'm taking Irv in the pick. Just more flexibility. You can do a lot more with that 109 too. So it's fun. Plus, I mean, I still like Irv. I think he's going to have a better year than this year. I think he's going to go up in value, which is really our main focus.
Yeah, and I don't think Hawk, to that point, Riley, I don't think Hawk's going to go up in value a ton, right? He's probably going to be consistent again. I don't see him having a huge jump this year, just given the things that we talked about, that it could be a new offense. Now, that could be wrong. He could end up in that top tier of tight ends next year because he's got that kind of talent, but I don't know.
Would you guys rather have Hockenson or Fant?
I'll take Fant. I'm a Fant boy.
I was a Fant guy, but God, he's.
I'm taking Hockenson. I'm
close,
taking
but
DJ.
I'll take Fant.
It's very close.
Yeah.
Tight ends interesting. It's so like if
what
you don't
is
have
the, what are the tight ends right above that tier that we broke down? Like I'm assuming Hawk and Fant are in there. Who else is like right there with them before you get to the good tier?
Ingram.
I'm taking both Hawk and Fant over Ingram.
Yeah, Goddard. Hawkinson's actually above
Goddard's
Andrews.
Interesting. I don't know. I might take Goddard over all of that little tier that we're talking there.
Here's one for you, Bosch. Andrews is actually behind Hawkinson now.
That's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting. I'm going to go add Andrews to every single team right now. That's disgusting. That's so gross. I still like Andrews so much.
he's sandwiched between Hawkinson and Fant. So
yeah, that's Andrews is easily the top of that tier for me. You know me. I have Andrews. He's probably still up in the top tier for me. He might be maybe a little bit lower. Slight. Maybe he's at the top of the second tier. I guess I should probably say. Yeah. I haven't done that yet, but.
Waiting for it. No, that's my favorite group episodes when we break those future values projections down.
I got to get all the other stuff done first. Then we
will definitely get into that in future episodes. We'll be back every week from here on out with the Dynasty Wall Street podcast. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at Dynasty Wall Street with an ST for street. You can find John Bosch at John Bosch FF. You can find Riley at DTC underscore Riley B. You can find me at Kevin Cotillo. And, yeah, we'll be back soon. See ya.
Extra, extra latest Wall Street prices.
Here's a quarter. Keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.